I have some comments.
Sure.
Two main comments. First of all, one about the Frankfurt School, and the second one has to do with some parallel trends in feminism. John Zerzan talks about Adorno, but I think John Zerzan's reading of Adorno is extremely crude. He is reading Adorno undialectically. So he's taking the dialectic of enlightenment and looking at Adorno's critique of enlightenment, but not looking at Adorno's defense of enlightenment. Now, he's not the first person to do that. There's a whole tradition. In general, I find his work quite crude. So a lot of things that central themes in his work are totally contradictory to Adorno. Adorno actually was a strong critic of Romanticism, and the whole primitivism is a romantic strain in political theory. Also, Adorno was a Hegel was a point of departure, but Adorno was a strong critic of Hegel as well. There are differences between Adorno and Marcuse on that perspective. I think the dialectic of enlightenment is not about the world as shit. I think that's a very simplistic reading of it. Second theme is in terms of what you're saying though about Zerzan. The same thing is happening in your overall thesis is happening in feminism. There's a strain of feminist thought, cultural feminism, and some of them, for example, cultural feminist Ariel Saleh, who's from Australia, is really a primitivist. She also thinks she's drawing from Adorno. Her writing, theoretically, is really crude. Her take on dialectics is almost like computer language. In her latest book, 1-0, it's totally strange. She's adopting what she calls a subsistence perspective. And in her work, it's going back to Australian Aborigine society. But there's a whole group of other cultural ecofeminists who want to go back to like feudalism. It's not a complete primitivism. Right. But what's interesting about them, a lot of what you're saying applies totally to them. A lot of them, if you look in the history of feminist theory, the whole kind of maternal feminism came from Jane Alpert, who came out of the Weatherman tradition, and it was kind of an application of Marxist standpoint epistemology to feminism. So all that you're saying about standpoint epistemology is being adopted by that group of cultural feminists, and some of their work is right now overlapping into eco-fascism, their problems with Vandana Shiva in India and her associations with Hindu fundamentalists. So that's quite interesting. Adorno was also a strong critic of standpoint epistemology.
I'm not going to dispute your description of Zerzan's reading of Adorno. Zerzan does this constantly with people. He does this especially with Marcuse. I think the best example is probably what he does with Lewis Mumford's which book, Against the Mega Machine. He takes half of it and he gets rid of, you know, the other half of it. He does this with a lot of his citations, so just take one citation and ignore the whole argument that it's from. I agree with what you're saying of how Zerzan uses Adorno, but I think he does take elements that are there in Adorno. I'm not saying it's a proper use of it, but I would never accuse Zerzan of properly using other people's thought.
Just a quick comment. I think that, you know, not to say, I think there's still problems with Adorno, and one of the things I think is Adorno contradicts his own philosophy of negative dialectics, and his whole ending up in art and high culture is a totality, which his negative dialectics is critical of. You know, according to negative dialectics, it can't be a all-encompassing general category. So I think Zerzan may be taking a bit of that. And there are legitimate critiques there. So the idea of a dialectic of enlightenment or a negative dialectics is interesting. And Zerzan and Ariel Saleh and other people aren't really picking up on the full dialectical import of that.
Well, I think Zerzan's grasp on philosophy is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that real quick about ecofeminism. These theories developed at the same time that ecofeminism was emerging in the 70s mm-hmm. and early 80s. If you read Against History, Against Leviathan, Perlman will say things like male literacy, and of course the whole title, Against His Story. So these, and Zerzan himself thinks of himself as a very strong feminist, and some he kind of crudely tries to make some of his work into being feminist. So those aren't happenstance links. Mm-hmm. These theories are developing at the same time and very much aware of each other as they're doing this. Although I think it is to Zerzan's credit that he does retain, that he does keep feminism as a part of his project, and that he has rebuffed attempts by the fascist right to utilize him. A magazine called Tyr, which is a post-Evolian magazine, asked to interview him, and he flatly, or to work with him, and he flatly refused them. So even though primitivists don't think of themselves as not part of the left, I think this is very bad, I mean, and I try to encourage them not to do this, because they're still continuing on the left themes, and there needs to be a commitment to anti-racism, there needs to be a commitment to feminism, there needs to be opposition to fascism, and once you abandon these ideas, then you really do, it really is going to set primitivism up on this line that can easily flow into a kind of eco-fascism, although I think this is a term that we should tread very lightly on. I think it becomes a smear term for a lot of people. And that fascism itself, you know, if anything, grew up and came out of syndicalism more than any other current, so that should be kept in mind.
I'd just like to maybe elaborate on that. Like, I know that a lot of times critiques of primitivism immediately link it up to eco-fascism and say that primitivism and deep ecology came out of like Hitler Youth and all the sort of romantic ideas about nature that was really prevalent mm-hmm. in Germany, but in the rise of the Nazis. And I'm just wondering, like, you're giving it pretty different origins.
The way of primitivism?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm saying primitivism emerges out of Western Marxism.
Yeah. So would you say that primitivism and deep ecology have any like links in their origins, or would you say that deep ecology is actually coming out of?
Primitivism takes ecology later. They're not interested in ecology. And they only get interested in it later when it works into them. Primitivism, I think, is a humanist form. And deep ecology is intrinsically anti-humanist. There's a debate in the 80s between the deep ecologists and the primitivists. David Watson has two essays. I think the more well-known is The Return of Son of Deep Ecology. Return of the Son of Deep Ecology. You can get this stuff online. They have a pretty civil debate with the deep ecologists. They find a lot of things in common, but the primitivists, or Watson at least, actually criticizes them for being anti-humanist and being too willing to accept things like, you know, mass die-offs and AIDS. Primitivists want, you know, a better future for humans, and that's what they're focused on, and the deep ecologists' deep misanthropy upsets them. But no, the primitivism shares themes with the ecological wing of the fascist movement, which is mostly personified by the work of people like Otto Strasser, who was an anti-Semite and a classic fascist, but who was also a socialist, and he was anti-industrial and anti-capitalist and pro-ecology. He was banished from the party in 1930 by Hitler because Hitler was trying to was gaining a lot of financial support from a heavy industry in Germany. So the ecological elements were excluded pretty early on. There's some that continued. But the fascists were interested in a lot of things that the left was interested in as well. There's many themes that fascist, anarchist, and Marxist all share. Interest in avant-garde art. Erica was talking before about the futurists. Futurists go into fascism, anarchism, and communism. Many people are interested in the ecological movement. Fascists draw off of Nietzsche, but anarchists also draw off of Nietzsche. So the fascists are interested in a lot of things that are merely percolating around. We see the same thing in phenomenology, where you get Husserl, who's a Jew, you know, beget Heidegger, who's a fascist, beget Hannah Arendt and Herbert Marcuse. So to say that these themes belong to one political perspective, I think, is wrong. Will, did you have a question?
Given what you said and what I knew about Zerzan, it does seem like overwhelmingly negative, like in the philosophical sense, that, you know, obsessed with negativity. And I was just wondering if, based on your readings, if you can say anything about, given his thinking, what kind of affirmation or positivity, or what kind of bearing his theory has on struggle or practice, because it seems like it's just this, it seems very dismal. And with this skepticism of organizations, like extreme skepticism and everything, like what can people do?
What's my critique of what primitivists do, or
does Zerzan say anything about that?
He's it's totally negative. I see him as like a kind of incomplete dialectic, where you know you have a negation, you have a negation of a negation. Well, he just is at the first stage where he just is saying no, and he never like can complete the process and overcome that. He's influential now because the super militancy that he and people around him champion has become very influential in the anti-globalization movement and amongst Black Bloc and ELF circles. So people engaging in very wild actions are drawn towards whoever's standing there cheering them on. He's providing a justification for this kind of thing. And it becomes really simplistic. The main point of Kamat is he says you never can boil, he's coming off of Horkheimer, you don't want to create a solid ideology. Things are never set. And David Watson gets mad and repudiates primitivism in 97 in the Swamp Fever essay because Zerzan is setting it in stone as an ideology. And if you read Teresa Kintz's introduction to Running on Emptiness, she sets it out like four bullet points about what anarcho-primitivism is. And this really upsets the other people who are really in this process of trying to think through their ideas. They didn't want a set ideology. Now it can be a simplistic set ideology. People say, look at the world, the world's shit, we're totally mediated, everything is all these buildings, but we have this great innate natural self. They name a couple of experiences where we feel like, you know, our ego dissolves and the subject dissolves, and we have this sort of innate interaction in the world, and then they say, okay, now go do whatever you do, or burn down SUVs, or smash windows. So I don't think this is good. My own politics side more towards sort of PGA-style stuff. But it is influential to people, and it will continue to be, especially as long as there's a very militant wing of contemporary anarchist movement will continue to have appeals. I'm sorry, did someone else have a question? You already spoke. Did you want to speak, Steve?
I just want to quickly raise something around how you're using the term ultra-left. Because,
mm-hmm.
Of course, I think sort of different forms of different Marxist traditions are perhaps the most interesting for Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's used now sort of like conflates people like Pankaj and Bordiga like they were actually the same, which is quite, they're actually quite different.
Sure.
And the term ultra-left actually comes out of the Stalin tradition from 1929. There's Wayne pointed out, Chris says anyone who was more left than they wanted to be, than Stalin wanted them to be. So it's a bit more varied than in a way the word now you just to look at everyone and almost positively.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm using the term about how it's used now to refer to a group of people, and there are significant differences between Panikot's Council Communism, Bordiga was a Leninist. There's a lot of different groups, but they all have some similarities. But yes, don't collapse them into one. There's not one ultra-left ideology, but there are similarities that groups share. Do we have time? Is it one more question? Did you have one more question? Okay, are we good? All right, thanks.